Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
All righty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host, Jimmy Falcon, and joining me today is actress, makeup artist. She is currently one of the most creatively, well, I guess not currently, all-time creatively most driven women in the indie film circuit. Kind of messed it up a little, but Athena Prohodko is with us. How's it going?
Hey, man, I'm good. That's a hell of an introduction, man. I don't know if I would quite say that, but appreciate it.
I always tend to stumble over my words the cooler I make it sound. I'm trying to be too much like one of those classic radio people that has the great introductions.
Well, that's awesome. How are you today, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How's things down in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky?
Pretty awesome, man. Keeping myself busy, all kinds of projects, of course, and besides like film and stuff, you know, help with burlesque, and I'm in a professional clown troupe, and, you know, so I keep myself very busy, and then, of course, you know, I got my 9-to-5 job, so, you know, keep yourself going.
Yeah, you seem to be pulling yourself in 250 different directions while I, like, pull myself in 200, so applause to you for that.
Hey, man, you know, it's life. If you don't take, you know, the time to make the most of it, then you're just wasting your time. At least I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to get down to go to sleep, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have that one more thing I got to do. Or I end up just, like, looking at the clock. I'm like, oh, I know I have to get up in, like, 4 hours. It's just, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, I barely sleep, man, because, you know, my brain is always rolling. Like, all right, if I lay here for like 2 hours, I can get up and I can do this, and then I can take a nap. But, you know, that never happens. Yeah.
Well, I guess you're now in Louisville, but you're originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, originally.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, not originally. I didn't grow up there, but I moved out there in 2000, and I was there for about, 16, 17 years, I believe. But I actually grew up in Buffalo, New York, and spent some time, you know, up and down the East Coast moving around and stuff. But Pittsburgh's where I started in film and everything. So, yeah, I guess you could say that was, like, kind of where I'm from. That's where I kind of found myself, you know, so.
Well, that I was kind of start wondering, I guess, your early days. So I guess going back to New York to start there, you know, how, did you ever imagine that you'd be, you know, doing all these cool things, acting burlesque? And did you always think you wanted to be out and about, moving around and traveling and stuff?
Well, sort of, man. I've always kind of felt like a gypsy at heart. And my family moved around a lot as it was when I was a kid because my dad was in the Navy and stuff. So kind of had it in my blood, you know, to like explore more and live more places and see what things, you know, places have to offer, like what kind of things that you can find out there that not every city offers to you. So, you know, life doesn't need to be stagnant, you know, and there's too much out there to get to know. So, you know, yeah, it's always been like, you know, kind of a dream to like be an actor or something like that, but I didn't actually pursue it. I kind of just fell into the whole acting thing because I started doing like special effects and set building and stuff like that. So, and then I just kind of got into the acting thing, like, you know, and then all that transformed into me being a writer, director, producer myself many years later. So, you know, it just kind of built and built basically since like 2000, my film career just kind of kept building. So, and I just kind of went where it took me, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, special effects, the more it seems like time goes on, it's getting more computer generated, but there is always seems to be a need for a, you know, a prop that someone can actually hold. So what would you say was kind of the neatest thing that you developed and created for use as a prop?
Well, my end of things, I like doing the props, but my end of things, I like doing the set design and the set building more, like being very hands-on and like actually building the backgrounds and, you know, the sets. And, like, although I made some really cool props back in the day, I'd have to say, like, building, like, stone walls and crazy, like, stone fireplaces and stuff like that is pretty fun. So I like that really hands-on, like, get me dirty approach kind of thing, you know? It's more physical and I find more joy in it, I think.
Yeah, I think any creative process helps you get rid of stress and anxiety, and you're creating something that everyone can enjoy, especially, you know, making films. It's got to be a really awesome feeling.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's just like a feeling of self-accomplishment, you know? Like, I don't know, you can actually stand back and see something that you made, and you're like, wow, that's fucking cool. Like, I did that. It's just like, you know, it's kind of uplifting when you actually can see, you know, on like a grand scale, you know, something that you worked really hard on for a while, and it's like this big grand thing, and you can step back and it's tangible and stuff. And that goes for props too, but sets are just on like, you know, a mega scale, which I just find more interesting. So.
Yeah, I'm sure the more you put into it, the longer time that goes into these productions, you also see little things that you can improve on while you're building a wall or a set. That you go, well, this looks good, but now maybe I can make it look better to fine-tune the whole project.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. But, you know, you also have, like, a crew of other people that are helping usually, too. So it's like a collective, you know, creative process between everybody who's helping build the set and everything. And, you know, I've actually find that's what I find really fun about it too, because when you're just making your props and stuff, it's usually just you, you know, you're doing the sculpting, then you're doing the casting and the painting and all that. That's all you. But when you're building like a set and you're being creative and hands-on and you have a crew of people around you, it's just a lot more fun. And that's probably one of the things that actually draws me to it. You know, it's like the interaction with the rest of the crew while I'm doing something artistic and grand. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think unless you sit and really go through and read like an IMDb or the credits, people don't seem to realize how much goes into a production. You made a great point with that, that even building the sets takes multiple people working together to get toward one cause.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you know, it kind of bums me out. I love to sit when I go to see movies, you know, I sit and I actually, like, sit through the credits and stuff because, yeah, everybody just gets up at the end of the movie and, you know, a lot of poor schmoes don't get their get their due, you know, because everybody's just exiting the theater. But, you know, I always feel kind of bad. I'm like, damn, that sucks. Yeah, because there's a lot of people that work on these things, you know. Nobody ever.
Absolutely. And I noticed that one film you did in particular, and this was, 6 years ago now, one that I've seen quite a bit of is Postmortem America 2021. You've worked with quite a few names I'm familiar with, Jim LaRear, Monique Dupree, and, of course, Melanie Rebell. What was it like working on this project and seeing this? There's so much talent that goes into even these films. I think some people think necessarily because it's not some big budget or because you have a bunch of companies behind it that have big names in Hollywood that there's not so much goes into these, and that's not true.
Well, man, like all my friends pretty much ask me, you know, why I don't move out to Hollywood and do all that bullshit. I'm like, man, you know, I'd rather work on small production, independent films, B-movies, as people like to call them. You know, I mean, low-budget films, I feel that, you know, more heart and soul goes into it because we have to stretch all the money and you have to, like, rely on people to be reliable. And, you know, there's, like, a lot more heart and soul, I think, that goes into, like, the independent films and the B-movies. and that I don't think money has to be an issue at all. I mean, a lot of movies from our past that, you know, didn't spend a whole lot of money and are to this day a classic, you know. Money doesn't necessarily prelude to, like, a good film, you know. And plus, it's just a lot more fucking fun, man. You go out to Hollywood and then assholes up there are, like, telling you what you can and cannot do in film. And when you're working on indie films, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You know, it's a lot more fun. You get to be a lot more creative, and your cast and crew get to have way more say in the film, you know, than like if you're working on big time Hollywood bullshit, you know, which, don't get me wrong, we all like those movies and I watch them, but I have a deep appreciation for indie film, not just because I'm part of it, you know, like even if I wasn't part of it, I feel like I would still, you know, be a big fan and watch a lot of indie films because it's important, you know, like you're supporting these up and coming artists just like you would music or, you know, like a actual physical artist or whatever, you know, I mean, film kind of goes along the same path, you know, and yeah.
You know, one of the, you know, I noticed, of course, you love horror films, and talking about not needing big budgets, George Romero's early stuff, even leading into, I mean, his most famous stuff, like Night of the Living Dead, way back in 68, was so cheesy. But that's what half of what you remember those things for, because without a big budget, you have to do things very different. But I think it adds a lot more realness to it.
Oh, yeah, I think so too, man. You get more genuine. I guess that's kind of where I was going with that whole, you know, cast and crew being able to work together very well, you know, on like indie films. You end up with like masterpieces, you know, and it's pretty awesome, man. Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and stuff, like, you know, those movies were made on no money. To this day, like, seem to just disturb and wow everybody. So, you know.
Yeah, and Hollywood is, the more and more I go about watching documentaries and reading, Hollywood is so corrupt. I think being anyone from a small town that has dreams of being in radio, television, a model, anything has dreams of going to Los Angeles sometime throughout their life, but really, I've been there. It's not that great.
Well, I mean, everybody gets their start somewhere, you know. I mean,
right.
From Louisville, we've got some pretty big names that have come from here, you know, and stuff. So you don't necessarily have to start in LA to make it, but at the same time, like, it really depends on what you want out of film, you know. If you want some big budget, like overproduced movie, then yeah, fuck yeah, go work in LA. But you know, you want to just kind of have fun, and yeah, you're not going to make money off of it. I don't make any fucking money. Most of the movies I've worked on, I've never seen a penny for, you know, but that's not the point.
No, I mean, I've been doing this too long, I feel like, sometimes, but it's not about making money. I could not say I've ever cashed a check from doing this, but it's about the fun and the trip and living life and, you know, just doing what you want to, chasing your dreams.
Yeah, chasing your dreams, man. That's it. You know,
and
again, you know, life's too short just to, like, not do that.
And I know that just from talking to you that you're really cool and down to earth. But doing modeling, a lot of, at least maybe in the beginning, some people are afraid to pose naked. And I've seen some pictures of your butt. And I just think that, personally, I couldn't do it. I'm not anything anybody wants to see, but I think it'd be hard to be able to do that in a movie shoot or just a photo shoot. How can you do that? How would you overcome, you know, something like that as far as posing naked for film in front of all these, you know, camera crew and producers and directors?
Well, I mean, at first it is kind of awkward, but, and it's not even really about being seen. It's just that I'm comfortable with who I am and I'm comfortable with my body. If you want to look at it, you can. If you don't want to look at it, you don't got to, whatever, you know, but it's a body. We all have these vessels, and I don't think anybody should be ashamed of what their vessel is, you know, and it's just about being open-minded and not being shy to what Mother Nature has already provided us, which is this, you know, this vessel. And, you know, I like to cover mine in tattoos and piercings and stuff. And, you know, other people don't believe in that either. But, you know, it's all like a choice for me. It's it actually is empowering to me that, you know, I can just take my clothes off and be like, yeah, I'm not afraid. Because that's what it comes down to, is being afraid. And
yep.
I have literally over the years just lost that, hey, I'm afraid notion, you know? Like, I'm not afraid anymore. I don't give a fuck what people think. You can think whatever you want about me if you see me pose naked. That's not my problem. Like, you're either going to like me or not, and you can't judge me by just looking at me. You need to get to know me first. But, you know, everybody, there's, like, these stigmas and shit, you know, and that's another thing. I'm like, fuck the stigmas, man. Fuck it, you know? There's, like, many periods in history, and if you look all over the world, there's, like, nudist-based beaches and camping resorts and stuff like that. Nudity is not something to be ashamed of. You know, your body is just your body, and so fucking what? Like, you know, if other countries can be, you know, comfortable with it and even have, like, naked newscasters and stuff,
yeah.
Man. Make you know, work. Like... Yeah, but, you know, Americans get so fucking uptight about, oh, I saw a titty on Facebook. You know, you better ban that person because they put a titty on Facebook. Oh, my God, titties are everywhere. So what? Like, I don't, you know, so I just don't have that fear, I guess, you know. And I also like saying, fuck the system. So.
Yeah, I think not too long ago I put up a picture with my shirt off and I put stars over my nipples just to see if somebody would have a cow about it. Because you're right, it's just boobs. I mean, I have boobs for a guy. I mean, every guy's got nipples, but I've got the teat. So you're right, you might as well at least have fun with it, if anything, not be afraid.
Right, and if you're going to throw me in jail, then fucking throw me in jail. I'll get out.
Throw you in the Facebook jail. We'll have to send you Bitcoin so you can call your friends.
I haven't been to Facebook jail in a while, actually.
Yeah, I think if anything, you know, I think if anybody was going to be offended by your pictures, it'd be just because of how cool, scary some of them are. Just getting pictures for the flyer, I've noticed, like, if you're washing, like, bloody clothes, it's really cool, and the editing style around the photo makes it look kind of vintage. You've got a really awesome style.
Thank you, man. Yeah, and I've got a lot of photographers who are really into, like, my morbid ideas and stuff, and then they, you know, take and they kind of roll with those ideas, too, and then we collaborate a lot of times. The photographers and I will collaborate on some really cool stuff, and I was like, I don't want to just be one of those chicks that just stands there and poses naked. Like, that's no fun. Like, let's have fun with this. And I've been in the horror industry for so fucking long that, you know, when I moved to Louisville, I was working at this place called Caulfield. That's like a year-round costume and novelty store. And they had this massive makeup counter. And I was actually, since I had all this background in special effects, I ran the makeup counter. And so... there was always, like, really cool, like, effects stuff coming in and what. And I was, like, you know, getting to use a lot of that in, like, my photography and stuff, which was a lot of fun. You know, and, like, the photographers and I would start getting together and, like, just plotting out, like, these crazy ideas, you know. And because I sold so much blood at Caulfield's, a lot of people dubbed me the Blood Queen here in Louisville. And I also ran the Louisville Gore Club for almost 6 years. And it was every Sunday night we'd play horror movies and stuff. And a lot of times I would show up to bartend covered in blood. And so it just started rolling around Louisville that I was the Blood Queen. And so, you know, now I got to live up to that. So all my photo shoots, and I do love blood, don't get me wrong. Like, you can literally come up to me at any point and be like, hey, Athena, you got some blood? And I was like, let's go out to my trunk. I probably got at least a gallon out there.
Well,
and
I mean,
you can ask any of my friends, like, they'll tell you, yep, she's always got some. No.
Well, if you think about it, I think the love of costuming, cosplay, or, you know, getting together and dressing up cool for a film or just to go out kind of has to take you back to Halloween, at least it does me. When you're a kid, you have all this love for being goofy the one day a year, but just because you grow up doesn't mean you have to stop dressing up and playing these characters and having fun.
Yeah, but in my reality, there's actually, I don't know if you're familiar with Ministry, but they have a song called Every Day is Halloween. And I kind of live my life like that. So, like,
wow.
My house looks like Halloween year round. And, you know, yep,
that's...
every day is Halloween. There's always an excuse to dress up.
Absolutely, I agree. And I kind of wanted to end this with, I kind of want to end this with a question for the creative writing, as far as that goes. Your work's been in like Horror Hound and Hot Rod Magazine, but as far as pinpointing creative writing from just say writing a short story or doing, you know, what, how would you say creative writing is different than you know, writing a paper, so to say?
Well, journalistic writing is more about facts to figures and, you know, with a little bit of a twist on it, you know, just to make it fun. But it's, you know, like stuff for magazines and whatnot is a lot of journalistic type of writing. And on the other hand, when you write short stories or scripts or anything like that, you get to expand your mind in all sorts of directions and, you know, kind of let your brain just take you there. You know, journalistic writing, when you're writing about something in particular, there's only so much you can really say about it. But when you're writing like short stories or, like I said, scripts or anything like that, you have like this freedom to like let go, you know, and see where your mind takes you. So there's a huge difference there in like the creative process.
Yeah, I guess, I couldn't sit down and write a short story about an alien with, like, a butt made of cheese curls and then get on Fox News and make it out as being true. So you didn't make
yeah.
a great point.
You'd have to write for, like, the National Enquirer or something, you know.
Which is fun. I mean, I see people all the time standing in line at Walmart reading them. I mean, it's really interesting.
Oh, that's because they're fucking hilarious. Yeah, my grandma used to read them all the time.
But the wrap up, I always like to ask what the future holds for you. I saw you had a movie you were filming and one in pre-production. And as far as, you know, if somebody wants to get a hold of you for film projects or wants to see one of your burlesque performances or some makeup tips or whatever, how can they get a hold of Athena for Hot Girl?
Well, you can always just follow my Facebook link and my Instagram. That's really the only social media I put out there. I'm not very savvy when it comes to promoting myself. So I check those things periodically, and when I do, yeah, if you've been to me and you're interested in working with me on something, you know, that's really cool, and I'd be happy to, you know, get back to you. But I don't put out, like, my personal number or anything like that, so if anybody wants to reach out to me, you know, just hit me up on Facebook or, like I said, Instagram.
Yeah, I wouldn't help you. Out there, and you get some stupid phone call about 2 a.m.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, it's, I wouldn't help you put your phone number out on the air because you get some crazy phone call like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You want to buy some car insurance? But
you never know, man.
Yeah, that'd be scary. Thank you so very much, Athena, for joining us, and best of luck in your career. You got some awesome stuff going on, girl.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Have a good night. Stay out of trouble, even though it's fun.
I don't promise anything. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, if you just joined us, be sure and check back in about 10 minutes. You can get the full version of the archive. And I just realized that it takes like a week for Radio Public to get our stuff and Anchor to get that week's load of shows. So if you tune in late and you go, oh, I can't find it or something's going wrong here, it should be around very soon. For some reason, my Tumblr didn't post. So I am going to do that real quick just for that hashtag promotion. Got to get the networking going. We are going to be back, looks like September 11th. We're not going to let a solemn day keep us down. We keep going, America. Singer-songwriter A.J. Croce, son of Jim Croce. This man has had a fantastic career. He played killer piano. worked very hard to make himself a name, didn't want to use his father's name or legacy to get him anywhere, and he's been working for close to 30 years putting out great original music, so it's going to be nice talking to him. September 12th, we welcome actor, director, writer, producer Peter Elbing. He wrote the screenplay for Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. He is also an actor, as seen on such TV shows and movies as Murphy Brown, Criminal Minds, Laverne and Shirley, Shaft, and Fuzz. September 17th, three-time NWA TNA World Tag Team Champion, CNWWE, The Natural, Chase Stevens joins us. And September 19th, another 2019 Dark History and Horror Con guest joining us, actor and filmmaker Wyatt Weed. He's had a great career, maybe best known as the Boar Predator and Predator 2. I mean, nice talking to him and some more awesome promo for Dark History and Horror Con. It is going to be October 26th and 27th, 2019, at the City Center in Champaign, Illinois. You can go to dhhcon.com for more info. We had a great SilCon this past weekend. It was really nice seeing all my con family and meeting some new people. Came by the table. I had a great conversation with a young man who was just very giddy about some of the people I interviewed. So it's always nice to know that this stuff is getting somewhere and that you know, people are interested. I'm getting the 90 seconds. So, of course, be sure and check out Anchor, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, YouTube. We're on Twitter. We're even going to be Instagramming some cons and stuff soon. We just got an Instagram set up. And, of course, JIANetwork.com is the website. Thank you, everybody, for always, as always, for joining us. And big thank you again to Tina Prohodko. Everybody, have a great night.